I will magnify my Lord.
Magnify,
for he is worthy to be.
For he is worthy to be.
Yes, I will magnify my Lord. I know the Lord liveth,
who blessed be the rock.
Hallelujah,
blessed be the rock of my
salvation. I know the Lord
liveth,
who blessed be the rock. And may the God of my salvation. Yes, who will magnify my Lord?
I will magnify,
for he's so worthy.
For he is worthy to.
Yes, I will magnify my Lord. I know the Lord
liveth,
so blessed be the rock, hallelujah,
blessed be the rock of my salvation.
I know the Lord
liveth, oh, blessed be the rock,
and may the God of my salvation. I know the Lord
liveth,
who
blessed
be the rock, hallelujah, blessed be the rock of my salvation. I know the Lord
liveth,
who blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Amen, Sister Johanna.
I was just in there, I was thanking God for just the spirit of worship this morning, and I was just sitting there, and I was just thinking of all the goodness of God and how thankful I am for this place and for this revelation. And Tina had called us today. Trevor's been really sick this week, and he's had a lot of throat pain and a fever, and Sam was just fighting him to get into the surgery, and she called us today and said, at 5:30 this morning, he felt so much better than he's felt in months. And he took the first drink of water he's taken in over 6 months, and he was able to swallow it. And I was just thanking God for that. And so many little things and big things. And it's just, Dwayne's like, there's God having so much in our life that we don't even know every time because we take it for granted. And I was sitting there last night, and I'm like my dad. I love my animals. And my lizard got hung up, and he was choking last night. And he was hung by a wire, and I didn't know how long he had been there. And I pulled him down today. He was good as new. And I was like, that's God, too. And he works in our life so much. But even more than that, he just works in my soul. And that's even more important.
Yes.
I'm just thankful to be one of them. And I have a revelation that Satan just can't shake. And I'm thankful for it. And I just love this place. And I'm just very thankful.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Our ambassador has returned.
What an honor, I tell you. I got as much blessing as everybody else did.
Amen.
I mean, it was just unbelievable. I don't want to get into all the bad stuff. You guys have seen all that on TV and everything.
Sure,
but
sure.
The good stuff. Everybody I was with and spoke to, you know, was just so appreciative and so loving. And that was a manifestation that I could display. You know, I'd been wanting to see, Sue, are you manifesting what you need to manifest? You know, but this forced me to, you know.
Yeah.
I was so honored. It was an honor. It really was, and a blessing, and I got to be involved in so much. I got with about 7 different churches, the pastors and some of the members, and they were so happy to be able to get a little bit of money because they have – put most of their sanctuaries open to the people that need mops, brooms, cleaning supplies, water, you know, paper products, and all that kind of stuff. Four churches that we helped, all of us helped, have gotten together, and they have one sanctuary open, and all four churches are using that one sanctuary at different times for their church members to come to. I thought that was such a wonderful thing to, for them to be able to get together and do that. And I don't know how many individuals that you helped. Too many to count, but I know that the churches were going to give out the money as they needed to help the members of their services and so forth. I got to witness one of the churches had set up a big grill area outside in one of the flooded areas in Quicksand, Kentucky. That's where my sister lives, on Quicksand Road. And all that area, you know, was just flooded because it's by the river. And they grilled, and we put food in paper sacks, and they put boots on and hand-delivered to places they couldn't get to, you know. The food was, hot food was delivered, and that was a blessing. That, you know, that was just an honor to be able to witness that. And it was just too much, you know, to be able to put in a few words, but it was just an honor to represent Fairborn Church here. And I told them, each one I spoke with, who our pastor was. I even had it written down, you know, in our church address and all that stuff. So hopefully some of them will respond, you know, and say that they are thankful and appreciative and what they've done. And it was just a blessing and an honor to represent our church. And thank all of you for, you know, all your tithes and offerings. And you see when places and things like this, it goes for a wonderful cause to help the needy, because they're living in tents. A lot of them don't even have, you know, a place to live. And my sister has still four people living with her. So, you know, it's still ongoing. But FEMA and some of the other representatives, Good Samaritan Purse, I think, was down there helping with different needs. And they're getting some help, but it's slow process, as we all know it is in a situation like this. But it was just an honor to be an ambassador for our church and to be able to represent all of you.
God bless you. Now, Sister Sue, we did get a letter from somebody in Kentucky. It's posted up in the back. Yeah. Sister Sandra?
I just wanted to say I'm really full this morning. Amen. Especially, I was full before I heard the testimony on what we've been able to do. But I'm grateful to be able to be here and hear, to have the ear to hear the word of God. And you know, it has helped me so much when I'm going through things to hear the words. Just wait on Him. Just trust in Him. If God be God, serve Him. And sometimes that means that when I'm going through things, you just wait a minute. And then when my flesh wanted to judge somebody that tried to help me, whether it was through my surgery, or when I had to get something fixed this morning for like my medical stuff, and they fixed it because they couldn't replace it. I didn't have the money, so they just fixed it this morning. The reaching out to the people I've been doing to bless me, and they don't even know what they're doing. But all I have to do is hold out my hand and trust Him, because He has. Amen. But to go through and feel that, to be in that moment is so powerful, to see God moving. And it's bigger and better and more wonderful to go through that than anything I've ever had happen to me in my life. The Word of God is so powerful. His presence is so, so real. Amen. And I just love it. And I thank God to be here.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sandra. Let's sing page 233. Didn't I Walk on the Water, key of D. 233, yep. In the choruses.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night,
I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, I'll go down in defeat. And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far that you've come. And every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind and it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. It says, I've moved like that before, and I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind and it hushed and it gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. And he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind and it hushed and it gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, I'll go down and in defeat. And he said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you and see how far you've come. And every time that you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Amen. And he said, I walked on the I spoke to the wind.
I spoke to the wind.
And it hushed and it gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you. I walked right beside you. Just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. And he said, I walked on the water,
and I calmed the raging sea.
I spoke to the wind, and it hushed and it gave me peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for you?
Thank you, Lord.
I searched until I found you. Again, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. For Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, I'll go down in defeat. And he said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you and see how far you come. And every time, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the rage,
I spoke to the wind,
I spoke to the wind, and it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all right.
Yeah, that is a great song. I really like that.
Amen.
I was thinking back when I was first coming here, and the first time I saw the pillar of fire in the ministry, that was a really good day. It told me where I could find the word. But the greatest day was when I saw the pillar of fire in me.
Sure, right.
I knew at that moment I would never be alone. In every single battle in this entire war, I've been able to stand because I knew I wasn't staying alone.
Amen.
Every battle I've ever been through, I knew was temporary. Woo! I'm eternal.
Amen.
I will go through that. The battles I'm going through today, they're just temporary.
Yeah.
The problem, the person causing it, is temporary.
Amen.
His days are numbered.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not too worried about that because I look at all the other battles I've already been through And God's carried me through every single one of them. And I know He'll continue to do it. Because that was His promise. I never promised that I'd get through every battle. He promised me.
Right.
Yeah.
He has kept. Amen. I haven't kept every single promise I've ever made. I've tried to, but I have not. But He has.
He has.
When we got married on that vow, He promised to do those things just like I did with Joy. That was an unconditional covenant.
That's it.
I didn't say, if you do this, Joy, I will do this. No.
Richard
God
poor,
never said, if you do this,
no, all right.
I will do. No, He said, I will do this for you regardless. And I'm just so grateful for a revelation.
Yes.
Revelation is what got me through every single battle, every single time.
Come on now.
I know who I am, and I know nothing can overcome me.
Amen.
Worst thing happen is I'll have to wait with you guys, Brother Childers, Brother Branham on the other side. That's worst case scenario. That's not too bad. But I'm going to be, I believe I'm the one that will be calling them back.
Right.
I'm not afraid of any of the steps. I'm not afraid of my future because He's seen me through too many battles for me to ever be looking down. Like Brother Jim would always say, I might have some scars, but there's no chin print on this chest.
Amen.
My head will not be hanging down. God has been too good to me.
Yes. You know, I'm sitting there thinking about things. Sorry to jump in here, but I was at the mic. Sorry. But nonetheless, you know, I'm thinking about how great this is. You know, I was thinking about eternity. You know, you mentioned the wedding vows and things. You don't know. In our wedding vows, we say, till death do us part. that's not in His vow. He, you know, Romans 14 is talking about, you know, whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. And, you know, I'm so thankful. Romans 14, you know, I hadn't read it for a while. I knew everything in it. But to bring it back out, you know, like they did, I'm thinking, my Lord,
Amen.
There's so much in that.
Amen.
You know, as far as being an individual.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about a group. We think they all think the same thing.
Right.
That's not God's group.
No.
They all do the same thing. We all stand for the same. We all got the same whatever, you know. But God's group is made up of total individuals.
Right.
Just completely individual people. And, you know, like I said before, and, you know, the only thing we have in common is His word. You know, He's got us on so many, He's got us on every one on a different path.
Amen.
And a different like, and a different love, and a different desire, and a different walk.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that. Because, you know, as long as you, anything else, you got some condemnation somewhere. Because you think you got to live up to something. You think you got to be like somebody else.
Right.
And, you know, and I know I've said this a lot, but it just gets more and more clear and more perfect to me how that, you know, blessed is the man who condemneth not himself and the things that allows, you know, Romans 14. And, you know, so much in there that we can walk around with our head high and just be a total individual and knowing that God's got us, life and death and everything in between, knowing that He's got every step of our life. If we're going to do something, that's God.
Yeah.
If we don't want to do something, that's God.
Amen.
You're convicted of this, that's God. If you're not convicted of this, that's God. Whether we live or we die, everything we do, you know, there's only one life in me. You know, it's got to come back to that. You know, I like bottom lines. There's only one life in me, and that's the life of Christ. Don't try to make me, well, that's your. I don't have another life. The only life I have is Christ. Everything you see in me is Christ. Do I live? Do I die every day? Do I convict it and change things? Sure.
Amen.
Along the way, I was thinking, you know, Brother Jay's got a house, you know, where he lives, and I've got a house out where I live.
Right.
You compare those two houses, they're different. It's daylight to dark.
Yeah.
Mine's got trash piles everywhere. It's built in 1900. His looks like it's built yesterday. And he's got his taste, and he keeps his house just where he wants to keep his house. And I got my taste, and believe it or not, my house is exactly the way I want it.
Amen.
There's things that I want to change, and given enough time and money, I'll change them.
Amen.
You know, but right now, my house is exactly the way I want it.
Yeah.
And Jay's house, if you've seen it, if you've seen our two houses, you know what I'm talking about. And his house is exactly the way he wants it.
Amen.
He comes out, looks at my house, and just shakes his head.
Right.
And I look at his house, and I just shake my head. You go in his house, and you take your shoes off.
Right. Yeah.
It's too perfect, you know. Go in my house, there ain't no sense taking your shoes off here. You know? And I'm thankful for that, you know. And that shows me that it's not the house.
No.
Jay's a believer in that house.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in that house.
Yeah.
That house is not Jay.
No.
My house is not me.
No.
But I operate out through that house.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what's living in the house.
Yeah.
Don't look at the house. You know, look what's living in that house.
Yeah, what's living there.
And I can look at each house in here and see so many diverse differences and things. But I know what's living in each one of these houses. I'm thankful for that understanding. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Sister Crystal.
Good morning, body.
Good morning.
Pastor.
Amen.
I just would like to take the moment to be silent and just give honor and praises to God.
Yeah.
That song that you sung, Brother Jay, it was so beautiful, and it was nothing but the truth. The Lord has brought me, my family, a long, long way. And he has always been with me, always. God dwells in me.
Amen.
I have the authority to do anything by his will.
Amen.
I know that he loves me.
Amen.
I know why we're here.
Amen.
We're here to get the saints up.
That's right.
And I do not take this for granted. I've said this time after time again. I am so blessed. I was able to get up this morning.
Right.
I was able to get that glass of water. He's gave me the ability to walk. He has given me the ability to be around my sisters and brothers.
Amen.
I don't take none of this for granted.
Amen.
And I just want you all to know, just look above me. And I know you see this all the time. Be still.
Amen.
And
know.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, Clay.
Okay, me? Well, you know, I come to the house of God. I am so full today. As Sister Dawn would say, I'm so full today. I'll just try to start it this way. I recently prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know, it's a relationship. And I said, Lord, I want to get more. And I was sharing this with Dwayne and them. I said, I want to get more out of our relationship. And he answered my prayers this weekend. Now, it didn't come the way I thought it would, but he let me know through my husband. He said, there's some things that I need you to do that you're not doing. And I said, and okay, it's one of those moments when you stick your fingers in your ears and you say, nah, 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 don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. But you know what? Amen. If I was in a room, if I was at home, and I was getting ready to walk out of the house, naked. If you really love me.
Right, you tell me.
See, you know, some people say, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Or I know you'd be embarrassed or something. And they don't tell you, and they let you walk out of the house. But if you really love me.
Right.
I appreciate when God talks to me.
Sure.
Amen. How many times have I heard things I don't want to hear? But you know what? Just like when we had that church split, I remember the ones were walking out the door. And I was going to walk out the door, too. But I remember about, okay, Brother Childers, he was hard. He was coarse. He insulted me. He made me mad. There was times he made me mad. And I said, what? And they put my feet to the fire and said, well, but is he right?
Yes.
Yes, yep, dog.
He's right. He's right.
But so then something inside of me always made me stop and turn around and said, what if he's right? What if he's right? And my husband has always been right.
Amen.
Am I a wretch? Am I a dog? Am I a worm? Yes, but he still said I could go. He knew that before I knew it, and it never stopped him. Guess what? God ain't scared of you. That, oh, Sue, it's so glad to see you back. Praise him. Okay, so now I'm always thinking of something to do. And like the brothers have been saying, said, let's get whatever you are, give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. And like one little sister, not Elise, it's our sister, Kara, she had a game plan. And God, I can change your game plan if you open your hands. She opened her hands, and God moved just like that. So I want to thank him. I want to thank him for it. I draw caricatures. Weird, huh? But that's who I am. I'm an artist. Weird, huh? That's who I am. I love to. I have to do that because that I'm just wired that way. All right. So that being said, I don't want to take up too much time. I'm gonna ask Sister Joy, and Brother Isaiah and Christy. We had something that we were working on. We want to give it, and I want to dedicate it to the men who have given so much of their lives to this gospel. First of all, I want to give, as I said, give honor to God and give honor to the pastor who's put up with me for 37 years or something like that. I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for him. And it was no cakewalk. It was no cakewalk. God got me here, and he's going to get us where he wants to. And we are mean to God. We backline him. We're not good. We're not good. He said, ain't none of y'all good. But you know he really must love us.
That's right.
Because he did it, he did it anyway. So I'm going to shut up. And we're going to dedicate this song. Let me calm down. We're going to dedicate this song to Pastor Moore and to the ministry who has faithfully thrown their shoulders to the wheel
right
behind
him.
Because you know you're nothing by yourself. So, amen. So just pray with us. We're going to try to do this.
Before we start singing, I just want to thank God for touching me. Last Thursday, I was so extremely sick, and I passed out. And I told Sister Ramona and Sister Moore. And then after that, after they prayed for me, I just felt that just God just touched me just like that, quick. And so I'm thinking like, oh my God. So I said, you know what? I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you so very much. You know, I appreciate you so much. I'm thinking, no matter what happened in my flesh, I know that there is another body waiting for me if I'm done with this body, you know. So I'm, you Amen. Know, I it's good to know that. So I praise him.
Can I say this is not a joke, but not a game to me? Can I say I'm in it to go all the way?
That's right.
And he's going to make sure that I get there. So y'all pray with us as we try to do this and not fall apart.
Yeah.
I came to worship. I didn't come to be seen. I came to worship.
Amen.
This is the only place I can really let it out and be who I really am. So just worship with us as we play this song. Okay, Chris.
I sing praises to your name.
just want to get my testimony in before I sit down. Happy to be here right now. I just wanted to introduce my guests. I got my really good friend here, Beth, and her sons. And, you know, I asked her if she wanted to come to church, and she said, absolutely. And I'm just like, thank you, Lord. You know, it's been such a blessing this morning, you know, because any of you guys have kids, you know, it's a little bit tough to get them all together. And, you know, you got to slow things down a little bit. Sometimes I come unglued because they just don't move fast enough, you know. And you ain't going to stop me from getting here on time. You ain't going to do that. But, you know, God told me, you know what? Go get them some breakfast. Go do some things. Just get them up the right way. You know, get them started. Get their day started. And, you know, I listened to them, and it blessed. You know, we got here early, earlier than I'm normally used to getting here. And I'm just so happy. I have something. I kind of get these little daily scriptures, you know, and something that I got this morning, I had to take a picture of it because I was just, like, so excited to hear it because it kind of matches what the ministry's been bringing. It's out of John 8:12. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I can only manifest that life because of what I eat. You know, if you wonder why we're so strong, you wonder why we talk bold, you wonder why we walk just as bold as we talk, this is the reason why. It's right here. This place has given me every single thing I am, the character that I've got today. I wouldn't trade my shoes for anybody else's because I know what God's doing in here. Regardless of what anybody thinks of me or whatever anybody says, right. I know what I've got. I know what's got me, and I'm just so grateful to be able to be identified as one of them.
Amen. God bless Brother Isaiah. Yeah.
I just got a real quick testimony. Along the line of what Sister Clarice was just talking about earlier, had a discussion with my husband this morning, and I just went on about my day. God answered it back there. And Clarice just came back there, you know, and she just talking. I was like, wow. And it happens to me and Brother Dwayne all the time. You know, I'll go through something, and then I'll get to church, and I'll say something, and then he's like, wow. And then it's back and forth. But the catcher to this that really impressed me most was God said, well, now since I answered it, what you going to do with it?
Right, yeah. Right.
You know, he answers us all the time, but what sure. you going to do with it? How are you going to manifest it? Are you just because you say you accept it, but there's a manifestation that comes with it. So I was just, thank you, Lord. And it's not, I have to manufacture the manifestation. I'm just going to agree with the word that he said, and then he will manifest it through me. So I just want to thank God for that revelation. That is nothing that I can do. Just be a willing vessel. Like Sister Moore said, just open my hands. So I just thank God for this place. I thank God for the rest and the revelation that he gives me all the time. You know, no, I don't walk around and read the Bible all the time. And I don't. The other part is I don't listen to music. And my car is total silence. Praise God for silence. Yeah. Praise God for peace. You know, and so I never listen to stuff. So when God gives me a song, I know he personally put it in my path to help me through. And so it's a song that I had been looking at. It's C.C. Winans. It's called God Has Never, He's Never Lost a Battle. Never lost. And I was just, it's only one thing that God can't do, he can never lose.
Right.
And I was just so, that has just been on me. And then this morning, my husband was playing it. And I was like, that's that song.
Right.
Because I don't do that naturally. So I know naturally that it's God saying, this is where I am. Mm-hmm. I don't lose. So with this little battle here, I already have the victory because it was won before the foundation of the world. Yeah. So all I have to do is trust his process of how he comes to manifest it. And that brings my rest. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Sister Sway, you'll be the last one. It's good to see you. Woo. Amen.
So I never know what I'm going to say when I get up here. And I was telling Kevin, I said, well, maybe I shouldn't testify. I said, it's 10:30, and I know Pastor Moore normally gets up at 10:30. He was like, well, just get up there. And I was like,
go ahead.
And then I sat back down, and then he testified about his children. That's what I wanted to testify about, my children. And I wanted, because Pastor Moore was talking about last week about if we don't carry weight on our shoulders, well, I found out that my daughter's having a baby girl, so I'm so excited. But, you know, I was thinking about my children. My oldest boy is 29 years old. He has three children. He's a great father. I have three grandchildren. They're great. And then my daughter was born, and she's my tornado. I mean, she is the one that if anybody's going to take you through changes, it's her. And, you know, and she went through a lot when me and my ex-husband split up. He did something to her that she'll never get over, and I'll never get over. And I never thought she was going to be okay. She was suicidal and angry. And I kept telling Kevin, you know, she wanted a baby so bad, and I knew she was going to have a baby out of wedlock. I mean, I knew that. Right. But I kept telling him that I felt like that was the only thing that was going to save her. Because you don't know how it is to be a parent and want so much for your kids. Like, I could have gave up on her. She took me through a lot, but she's mine.
Right.
You know, and I always thought to myself, God will get me through this. And when she was angry at God and she would lash out at God, I said, thank God that God knows that you do love him. He knows you're angry.
Yes.
But, you know, ever since she's been pregnant, she's calmed down a lot. You know, she's calmed down a lot. And I did pray to God to give her a girl, though. I prayed to God to give her a girl. I did not want her to have a boy. I wanted her to know what she took me through. And, you know, I mean, because she did. She still does. And, you know, and I think about what I took my father through, you know, the bad mistakes that I made. And he used to say, when you become a parent, you'll see. I have sleepless nights and stuff like that. But, you know, I was just thinking about what Pastor Moore said about if you don't have the weight on your shoulders of, especially your family, if you don't have nobody out here, my dad raised me, you have your family. And I will fight to the bitter end for my family. Even if they're not always right, I will fight to the bitter end with my family. So I just wanted to say that. And I also do have a third child, which is Tyrese. And sister Michelle knows about him. He's my autistic one. And he's 22, but you know, he's just mine. You know, all your children are different. Oh, yeah. And like I said, my middle one's the tornado, but I love all my children the same. I will fight for them. And I will tell anybody out there, never give up on your children and never give up on your family. But I just wanted to say that.
God bless you. Hey, man, we got a couple announcements here. September the 16th, we're going to be at the Brinkmans at their place. And then on September the 25th, we're going to be doing our church pictures. They haven't set a time when they're going to do it, so just make sure you get to church. Be on time. Early. Please. I'm looking out for you.
The reason I say that is because sometimes people have to work and they take extra lunch early and things, so we try to get it done so they can come, get the picture, and go back to work.
Amen. And then October the 15th, that weekend, we're going to South Carolina. That's been confirmed. All the names are in. And then in November the 20th, we're going to be having a Thanksgiving service. So we got those there going there. Let's sing page 6. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Turn it over. Enjoy the testimonies and the songs. Appreciate it.
It's good to be here.
Yes.
Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Just praise him for his mercy. Praise him for his love. For
Jesus, we come before you this morning. Lord, I do lift up my hands to praise you. Praise you for your goodness. Praise you for how good and how merciful you've been to us. You brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. There's no one in this building today that can say that you haven't done so. To be here today is sitting right in the presence of your light. That's a great thing. You've given us health and strength. That's a great thing. You brought us back together in this house. That's a great thing. But most important, the greatest thing of all, is that you give us an understanding of your word. And we're not walking around here trying to figure it out. We know what it is. We're not in darkness. We're not groping. We're not trying to look at some unseen force. Lord, this is a seen force. This bride is a seen force. And the world and the devil has to take note that we've been with you. Thank you for the manifestation of the Son of Man on the earth again in this day. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for answering prayers. Thank you for going before us, Lord. Oh, we ask you to continue to touch Trevor. Continue to touch Donna. Continue to touch Dawn. Continue to touch John. Continue to, we don't want to forget these prayers. But Lord, just keep them before you, knowing that there's needs there. There's people that have needs around the world. People I talk to and I email and text and different ones with different needs. And Father, we ask you to move on their behalf. Lord, you're not bound by continents and not bound by circumstances. But Lord, you said by your stripes we're healed. And Lord, we'll claim that and hold the people right before it. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. The words that we have laid before us, Lord, let us use it for the edifying of the body. Not to seek glory of ourselves or to put ourselves over, but to put your word over so that the believer can hear it and receive it. Lord, anoint the speaker and anoint the hearer of the word. For it takes both to make you fulfill what it is that you are out to do. Thank you for our ear to hear. Thank you for an understanding, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Is that Brother Kobe I see back there? You going to say anything? Come up here and do something. Say something. You snuck in on, I snuck in on him on a Thursday, and he wasn't there, so he thought he's sneaking on me on a Sunday.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Bless you, brother.
They'll turn you up.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. I'm not real good at sneaking. I always get caught no matter where I go, you know. And, yeah, you did sneak in on me, and that was one of them nights I wasn't really playing hooky. You know, you just got, like the sisters were talking, you got children and grandkids, and I hate to say where I was that day.
That's right.
Oh, amen. Man. My daughter got into this business, and she raises reptiles, snakes. And so we went down, and we bought like 20-some of them, and she needed dad there, and I said, well, I ain't going to hold nothing, you know. And so anyway, next thing you know, they're getting them out of cages. Hey, Dad, hold this one and that one, and, you know, because we need more hands. Like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was thinking of my grandpa back in the snake handling days. He used to do that. And I'm glad I'm living in my day and my age. Wow.
Amen.
But, you know, they are quite the creature. I mean, I never really had much to think about a snake. But when you start seeing, they're still a creation.
Right.
And something that don't have no fingers, toes, no legs, and no feet, and can chase you all over the place. I mean, there's something. But anyways, yeah, I'm only human, you know. And so anyway, I think that's what I'll do. I'll just maybe sing a song, and I don't need no musicians. They're gone. They're gone. No, that's all. I don't need you. No, I'm good. I am good. But this is a song. It's an old one. You all probably know it. And it's called One Day at a Time. And that's all you can do in this world is just take it one day at a time. And you can't worry about the problems of tomorrow because the problems of today are sufficient for today. So God gives you the strength to get through this one, you know. So, all right. Well, let me just try this.
I'm only human.
I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Oh, show me the stairway. Oh, that I may climb. Oh, Lord, for my sake, oh, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, oh, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Oh, yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Oh, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Oh, show me the way, one day at a time. All this rings true this morning. Lord, do you remember? Oh, when you walked amongst men. Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Oh, there's a pushing and a shoving, and it's crowding my mind. So, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. That's my prayer. Oh, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Oh, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Oh, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. Stand with me this morning. Sing it with me. Oh, one day at a time. Jesus, oh, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. Let's sing it one more time, if you will. Oh, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Oh, yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine.
day at a time. Listen to this. Lord, help me today. Show me the way. One day at a time. Thank you for that. Yes.
Amen. Brother Kobe, you're all right. You're okay in my book. Amen. It's good to have him here. It's good to have you here. Now, I want to put this on record. Tina called me because nobody knows the details like somebody who was there. I was there, so I don't know. Tina called me, and she called me a couple of days ago and said, Brother Moore, when we're going to go for this surgery, we're leaving on Tuesday, but before we go, we want to call you and FaceTime you and have you pray. And I thought, okay, just call me. So she called me yesterday, and she was apologizing. She said, I'm so sorry. Trevor's in the bed. He has really been sick. He's got fever temperature. He's been really bad, and we're thinking about taking him to emergency. And she said, but I still just want you to pray with him. And I thought, well, if he's that sick, you don't even have to go in. Just stay here in the living room. We can pray. She said, no, I want to take you in there. So she was there. Of course, Bad O' Hicks and Judy were there. Hicks and Judy were there, and all the whole family. And so they all went into the bedroom, and I could see him because he's in the bed. She woke him up and told him, Pastor Moore's on the phone. We want to pray for you for this before we go on this trip. And he woke up. We talked a little bit on the phone, and then we prayed. And then they went on back out. Tina took me back out into the other room, and we were just talking on the phone. And then I saw Trevor in the background, and I said, he's up. Now, he'd been in bed. They're getting ready to take him to emergency. Very sick. And I said, he's up in the kitchen with him. And I was going to say something, and God said, don't say a word. Let them testify of this. And I thought, I didn't say nothing else. I finished my conversation, and we hung up this morning, 8:30 maybe. Tina calls me, and she was hysterical almost. She's like, God has touched him. That's what, see, he told me yesterday, let them testify. And I didn't say nothing yesterday, but I knew yesterday, I said, God's already touched him. And so she said, God touched him. She said he had fever, and I was trying to do what I could do to get his fever down. She said, but we were talking, taking him to emergency, to take him to the hospital, and said, but then this morning early, Trevor woke her up. See, God knows how to make you testify. You might not want to testify, but God knows how to make you testify. He woke her up and said, Mommy, he says, I was in the bathroom, because he hasn't been able to swallow for maybe months and months, for how long? A year and a half. Not able to swallow. He had to spit his spit in a cup and throw it away. Could not swallow a thing. That's what the surgery's all about. He said he got up this morning to rinse his mouth out, and he swallowed. It went down. He said, so he come in hollering at her and said, I don't know. I was just trying to rinse my wife's mouth out like he'd done for a year and a half. Right. He said, but it went down. Yeah. And Tina said, but that's not the strangest thing. She said, we looked at his scar that had been ugly. And she said, it looked like it was healing up differently. It looked different today. And I thought, thank God. Amen. Like I said, man can touch you, but God is the one that's got to heal you. And I said, I put it on speakerphone because my brothers are there. Yeah. You know, because they don't know how to pigeonhole me yet. They've been listening to me and following me for years and watching me from a distance. I put it on a speakerphone and just let my brothers, who are both sitting in the living room with me, I said, boop, put it on speakerphone and let them hear it. And then my one brother thought Trevor was an old man, because he don't know him. He thought I was talking about an old case, an old person who's on his way out. He said, how old is he? I said, 21. He about jumped off the couch. He said, somebody that young? He said, I thought you were talking about an old man. I'm not. I said, oh, no, he's been troubled and having some problems for a long time. And for God to come through and touch him. Like I said, man can cut you, but God's got to heal you. And so you continue to pray for them. And it doesn't mean that it's done. It just means that God is real. It's another sign. Another sign. Not the sign, but another sign that God is real. So I want to put it on record. And I know Trevor and them listen to us. If I'm lying, they can call Dwayne right now on his phone and tell him I made it up. But I just want it on record because people around the world watch these services. And they need to hear this.
Yes, they do.
And God can do whatever he wants. And I think sometime God is limited, but God is limited by your unbelief. It's not a limitation in what he can do. It's our limitation on what we can believe. So if you can believe, because see, if my brother said after I got Fisher to call, my brother said, and I thought I had a problem with my knees. I thought I was having a bad day. He says, I shouldn't complain about nothing. Trevor's been going through this at least 5 years. And we've been praying for him, and we're going to continue to pray for him. Because they're on their way Tuesday for their appointment. And just continue to pray. Like I said, God can touch you before he gets there. They might get there and say, it's not as bad a case as we thought. And maybe we don't have to cut. Or maybe just, you know, who knows what God will do. But we're going to believe that his word said that by his stripes we are healed. And we hold him right there. We're not taken back. We're not taken down. You say, well, God's touched him, but he ain't touched him enough. I want more. I want God to continue to touch and continue to move. And that's the way we as believers do. We don't sing no defeated song around here. Oh, I'm having a bad day. So what? You talk after the word. Don't talk after your flesh. Don't talk after your spirit. Don't talk after your bad day. Don't talk about how bad you feel. Talk about how much God promised you that he was going to see you through. How God promised you that he's a healer. He's a deliverer. And that's how you're going to get your healing. If you want God to move on your behalf, don't come up here talking about how bad I am and how rough it is. Talk about how, you know, your glass is either half full or half empty. How you want to look at God? You want to look at God as, oh, he's going to see me through my problem. No, he's going to deliver me. He's not going to see me through. He's going to deliver me. He's going to heal me. He's going to protect me. That's the way you need to talk. Claim your children. Claim your loved ones. Put God on notice that you're not moving and backing off of his word. Because you're only as strong as the word that you hold on to. You're only as weak as the thing that you hang on to. What are you going to hang on to? Your sickness or God's healing? Oh, you can get rebuked by God, but what are you going to do? Hang on to the rebuke and say, Lord, but I'm more than able. It's what you do with the word. It's what you do with what God puts in front of you. And how you handle it will determine your outcome. Brother Branham said, your eternal destination depends on what you do with the word. Yes. And sometimes people think the word is just scripture. The word is whatever God tells you.
Amen.
When God tells you something and it matches the scripture, it's the word.
Yes.
It's God. And Jesus, I was thinking about this the other day. Jesus told those disciples when he was with them, and he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Where are you going to find that in the scripture? It wasn't there.
No.
But did it match the word? Yes. Was it the truth? Yes. Did it have to believe it? Yes. But it said, well, find me, Jesus, give me the scripture chapter and verse where I have to do that. Go through all the Old Testament you want, and you won't find it, because it's not there. But Jesus was speaking by revelation. And sometimes God will speak to you by revelation. And because it's not coming by your creed and by your tradition, you will turn God's word down because it's not according to your thoughts. Somewhere along the line, we got to recognize the voice of God. Right. Not just the word of God, the voice of God. When God speaks to you now, he's going to speak to you by voice.
Yes.
Amen.
It's what the Son of Man's all about.
Right.
If we still wanted an unseen force that we didn't know what to do with, then we would have stayed the Son of God. But the Son of Man is the word of God made flesh.
Amen.
The Son of Man is the word of God eyeball to eyeball. Amen. The Son of Man is the word of God speaking you the word of God and telling you what God wants you to do.
Amen.
You can't find nothing in the scripture about COVID-19. But God talked to us here.
Yes.
He told us what to do.
Yes.
And we did it.
Yes.
And we lied because of it.
Right.
But you can't find a scripture for it.
That's right.
But it messed the word of God.
Amen.
And see, that's where you messing up. You think because you don't have John 3:16 or Acts 2 or Matthew 14, you think it's not God. But it's God if it matches his word.
Amen.
It's the Son of Man on the scene. You don't play with that.
Right.
No. That's right.
Time for us to recognize that God's in skin. That the only voice you hear is going to be a voice of man speaking the word of God. Brother Branham said, it's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. Where's the mouth of God? In us. We still want to have a Trinitarian doctrine. We still want to have God up here somewhere. And you're trying to make God talk to you. And if your God talking to you don't match the God that's coming out of my mouth, drop your God. You got the wrong God. Because the God out of me, I know is right. The God out of me is the one that's ordained to lead you through. And if you're going to take your God over my God, you're going to automatically lose. You got to die to your thinking, die to your tradition, die to your ideas, die to what you think it is, die to what you want to do, die to what you think it is. Listen to the word of God coming out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
That's how real it is. This don't have a stop button that you can push on a play record. You don't stop this. Only way you're going to get out of this is to leave. Because the mouth of God is a word made flesh. And you'll either accept it or you'll miss God. You'll miss God trying to find God on your own up here somewhere. God ain't up here. God's right here. You say you're God. Yes, I am. You can't even get God till you find God in skin.
Oh, my goodness.
And you'll know what you got when you get it. You'll know what you got. And it won't be because of your own thinking. It'll be because you died to your thinking and take up God's thinking. You might think, well, it should be this way. Well, God's got a whole different plan. And you're trying to hang on to your ideas of what you think it is. You better listen to me. You better listen to me. You say, well, you're making yourself God. There's another Pharisee.
Amen.
There's another Pharisee.
That's right.
As Brother Branham said, they said, Brother Branham, why, you're making yourself God. He said, there's another Pharisee. In other words, what? They didn't believe Jesus. They didn't believe Brother Branham. They didn't believe me. But you know, if you don't believe who I am, you'll die in your sins. Period. And I am not going to make you do it. Because that's between you and God.
That's right.
You don't even know who I am unless God shows you.
Amen.
No man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
If the Holy Ghost don't tell you that this is the voice of God, you'll never pick it up.
Right.
All you'll see is a man up here screaming, hollering, and saying stuff that don't make sense. But it's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. That's how real it is. You say, well, it's got to be God in skin, but not your skin. He can't get in your skin till after he gets in my skin. You say, why? You got to be first, because I'm the pastor. I'm the leader. If the leader, I can't lead from the rear, Jeremiah and Jay. Leader don't lead from the rear. Leader's up there in the front. He takes the first bullet. He takes the first criticism. He takes the first hit. That's what the leader does. But he's ordained to lead you through because he knows where he's going. You don't even know where we're going. You don't even know what the message is for this morning. You don't even know what God's going to do today. You don't. You can. All you can do is say, Lord, give us this day. Give us. Either I'm ordained to lead you through or I'm not. And if I'm not your leader, then go find him. Because you got to have one. And if I'm going to be your leader, I'm going to tell you the truth if it hurts your feelings. I'm going to tell you the truth if my wife get mad at me. If I tell my wife the truth and let her get mad, you know you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. If she's not safe, you know you're not safe. I'm going to tell you the truth if you never talk to me again. I'm going to tell you the truth if you never darken these doors. I'm going to tell you the truth if you cuss me out, tell me off, or try to kill me. I'm going to tell you the truth anyhow, because that's what I'm ordained to do. I'm going to do my job if you don't do yours. All right. I ain't got started yet. This morning got me stirred. See God move. And I can hear Trevor in the background testifying. And I'm talking, Tina's screaming in the phone, and he's behind her testifying. I'm like, look at God. Now he ain't said nothing for a long time. But he's back there, and I can swallow. And the cut, it looks better. It looks like it's been, and that's the, Tina's like, the weirdest thing, because I thought it was weird he could swallow. She said, but that's not the weirdest thing. His scar looks different.
Come on now. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord.
So we need to testify these things. But you know what? That ain't even the greatest thing. That's just minor. What I'm getting ready to do for you is the greater thing. It's opening the Word of God. We'll forget about the healing in a couple of days, and we'll go on with that. But the Word of God will still be pouring them, still be coming forth. We'll still bring it word upon word here. If you want to be a part of this, come on, be a part of it. If you don't want to be a part of it, get. I'm the worst pastor ever. I don't try to hold on to you. You tell me you'll never speak to me again, I say, fine. You tell me you'll never see me again, fine. You tell me you don't want nothing to do with me, fine. You'll find it. That's where Brother Lynn found out. He went home and stayed 2 years. Yeah. 2 years. Yeah. And he come back and said, church, Pastor Moore's right. He ain't going to hunt you down. I didn't go one day to his house to find, Brother Lynn, what's going on? I'm like, if you're going to eat, you're going to come here. You know what? When the food's fixed, it's on the table. You better come. Come on, time, come and die. If you want the food, it's here. If you don't want it, don't eat. I ain't gonna stop me. But it's good to see God move on their behalf, because they have been struggling in that family. They've had trial after trial and trouble. It seemed like everywhere they go, I'm glad to see them have a break. And so keep them in your prayers as they get ready to go out west. All right, well, turn me over to John chapter 16. Because this is what got me excited. And more so even than a healing. This is good stuff here. So John chapter 16. And we want to start with verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for your services today. So thankful for the word that we just read. So thankful for the healing. We want to just take a moment to say thank you, Lord. Not like the lepers who you healed 10 and only one came back. We want to come back and say, Lord, thank you. We want to thank you for what you've done. We want to thank you for what you do. We want to thank you for the word that we just read. Now, Lord, just open it up to us and let it be real to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to title this morning's message off of Wednesday night's message. Jeremiah's laughing. The infallible evidence. I heard him say that Wednesday night and read that quote, and I thought, my goodness. The infallible evidence. And I want to go back to the quote that Jeremiah was reading, but I want to go a little above where he was reading and bring it down to that point. Brother Branham said in Paradox, he said, today, in this day, I like to bring this, the deity of Jesus Christ, because that man's trying to make him a prophet. Now, and this is Brother Branham, he was trying to play the other side of the case. And that's why he hated to do it, but he said, Lord, forgive me for doing this. But he was trying to do the other side of the case. Now, if there happens to be Christian Science sitting here, I'm not hurting your feelings. I hope I'm not. But we express so much upon evidences. We Pentecostals put our evidence upon speaking in tongues. And how bad we've been fooled in that. And how many of them say the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence? How badly you're fooled by that. No, sir. If you talk about speaking in tongues being the evidence of the Holy Ghost, which I do believe the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues. Don't get me wrong. Yay. But you say a man speaks with tongues, got the Holy Ghost. We believed that for a while, but we found out it was wrong. Luther said, those that said they believe, we found out that was wrong. Wesley said, those that got sanctified and shouted, we found out that was wrong. Pentecostal said, those that spoke with tongues, we found out that was wrong. Christian Science said, the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence. We found out that was wrong. I've seen witches and wizards drink blood out of human skull, speak in tongues, and lay a pencil on a table and write in unknown tongues and interpret it, see? Now, don't tell me that. My mother is half Indian, see, and I know I've seen it and dealt with it. Yet God does speak with tongues, but that's no infallible evidence that you've got the Holy Ghost. Certainly not. No, indeed. Infallible evidence. That's what we need. Because when you're trying to serve God, there's all kind of evidences out there. And there's all kind of evidence that God does exist. Sure. But what we need to know for ourselves, we need something infallible. Right. Something that can't be disputed. Something that can't be mistaken. Uh-huh. See, because if you use any other evidence than the real infallible evidence of the Holy Ghost, you're going to mess it. You're going to mess up. Amen. You're going to lean on something that has no foundation. Right. You're going to base your life on a false narrative. You're going to try to build on something that's sinking sand. You'll do all manner of things, and it could be good things. I'm not saying bad things. I'm saying you can build a lot of good things on a false narrative. Right. You can think because you're a nice person that God's going to have to deal with you, and that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You being nice is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can say, I give all my money up. Right. I support the church. I do many things. That's all good and fine and well, and thank you for your donation. Yeah. But that is not an infallible evidence of the Holy Ghost. You say, I never get mad at my husband or my spouse or my wife, or I always try to do the right thing. You trying to do the right thing is not an infallible evidence of the Holy Ghost. You trying to say, I'm trying to work my way into this thing and figure this thing out is not an infallible evidence. You need something there you'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's God, not if or can be or possibly will be, or say, well, I'm hope I'm good enough. If you don't have the infallible evidence in your life, then God's not there. And I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about church people. I'm talking about message people. I'm talking about good people. Oh, you might be a good parent. Oh, you might be a good spouse. Oh, you may be a good friend. But if you don't have the infallible evidence of the Holy Ghost, you're wasting your time. You say, how do we know? How do we know? If tongues isn't it? If love isn't it? Because at one time, Brother Brennan thought it was love. He was talking about it, and he was trying to figure out what the evidence is. And he knew that tongues was not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But he said, Brother, we've got love. I didn't bring the quote here, but I know it. He said, they talked it over, and they decided amongst themselves that they thought it was love. And Brother Brennan said, that sounds good. It sounds good, because the scriptures talk about love, and the Bible talks about love, and how can you love God if you don't love your brother? It's obvious, that's an evidence. That's an evidence, but it's not the evidence. It's not the one that's infallible. It's not the one that you can lean against. I don't even lean on the fact that you like me. I don't lean on that. That's no evidence of the Holy Ghost. You might like me one week and not the next. Right. And the week after that, you might like me. And the week after that, you might not like me. And the week after that, you might like me. Yeah. So that's not evidence. It's a good evidence. I hope you like me. But it doesn't matter if you do or you don't. That's right. I got the infallible evidence. Right. And I don't need your love. And I don't need your brothership. And I don't need your sistership. And I don't need your friendship in order for me to be ready for the journey. Amen. Because I got the infallible evidence. Amen. And you got to know this for yourself. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 43. Jesus ran across some people who had an evidence, but not the evidence. They were looking at it and they thought they were good. They were ready for the journey. They thought they were churchy people because they were good. Their parents were good. Their grandparents were good. Their whole lineage was good all the way back to the Ark of the Covenant. Good people. I'm not talking about devils. On the outside, they look good. They look clean. Brother Branham preached a message there. They crucified him. They, who? The most holy people in the most holy city. Good livers. Their parents are good livers. So don't come to me with your goodness. Don't tell me your goodness is enough. Your goodness is not enough. They crucified the Word. The very ones that were churchgoers were the ones who did to crucify him. It wasn't the drunks. It wasn't the wino. It wasn't the gambler. It was church people who did that. Jesus asked him over there in St. John chapter 8, says, verse 43, why don't you understand my speech? Now, who are they? The church world. Herodians, Sadducees, Pharisees. He wasn't talking to the drunk. He wasn't talking to the prostitute. He's talking to church people. A lot of people try to live their life and try to clean their life up. You know what? You can't get your life clean enough for God to come to you. You say, oh, God's not coming to me because I'm not a clean liver. God's not coming to you. If he's not coming to you, it's because you don't belong to him. Amen. And if you belong to him, he's coming to you ready or not. Amen. You don't fix yourself up for God. God fixes you up as he wants you to be fixed. God puts what he wants in you. He takes out what he wants out of you. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you what he wants. God's not going to leave you in the dark. Amen. Oh, not in this hour. He's not leaving you trying to figure this thing out. Oh, wait a minute. No, God's going to flat tell you exactly what he wants. He is openly revealed before you. Yes. 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 Question is, what are you going to do with this Jesus called Christ?
That's right.
Brother Branham said, he's on your hands. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word.
What?
How can you be standing there with Jesus and not hearing?
Right.
How's that possible?
Yeah.
Unless you're... Now the theologians say, oh, these people were deaf. They just had hearing problems. They were hard of hearing. No! They had good hearing. They heard the words, but they didn't hear him. A lot of people hear the word, and all it is to them is a thunder. But to the children of God, it's revelation. To the children of God, it's understanding. To the children of God, it's God speaking here. And when God speaks, you stop. At least the children of God do. Only ones that will stop will be the children of God. Because they recognize that voice. They recognize it's God. If they could only, all of the children of God have to do is hear me preach. They may not understand a word I'm saying. It might be going over their head like, woo, 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 woo. But they'll say, one thing I do know, that's different than anything I've ever heard. One thing I do know, that man is sent from God. One thing I do know, he's saying something that makes more sense than anything I've ever heard in my life. Can you explain it? No. Do you have to? No. Well, all you got to do is hear it.
Amen, Lord.
Can't hear it even because you cannot hear my word. Ye, who? The church world. Remember, he's talking to church people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ye are your father.
Oh.
Yeah. The devil.
Amen.
Now, and here they are. Good livers. Clean people. Love to, in one sense, serve God. But yet... they were of their father, the devil.
Wow.
There's only two fathers.
Yeah.
Either God's your father or the devil's your father.
That's right.
It's not a third one. You got to know who your father is.
Yeah.
The devil don't care whether his kids know who he is or not. But God's kids will know who he is. Jesus told them and said, though they were clean church, the best there was on the... You know what? You look around, because some of y'all, I just like to say that in general, because if I name names, people start pointing and looking. Some of y'all think y'all live pretty good. Some of y'all think you live better than others. Matter of fact, some of y'all talk about the rest of us when you're not here.
Oh, wait a minute.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
The truth is a light.
Yeah.
But you're not as good as you think you are.
Amen.
You're not as holy as you think you are. You need God just like the rest of us.
Amen.
Like, bro, I love that scenario that Brother Don. Your house is different than Jay's. Now, that should have been a message to all of us today. And that should have been so clear-cut that everybody will quit picking on each other. Because your house is your house. Don's house is Don's house. And his house doesn't have to look like your house. And your house don't have to look like his house. He said, why is Don talking about houses? You can't hear his words.
Yeah.
Don't you realize that was God talking?
Yeah.
You say, oh, God just got up because the preacher...
No.
God's in a many-membered body.
Amen.
He's in the first song. He's in the last song. He's at the beginning of service. He's at the end of service. He's walking these aisles. He's talking to us through the entire congregation.
Amen.
He's in the midst of his people. I don't know why we think God's not walking these aisles in us. We don't even pay attention to the only believe gets sang. Time for the preacher to get up. God's in this place. God's discerning your heart. He's talking to you through the people. Why can't you hear his voice?
Amen.
Because it doesn't come like you think it should. Because he's not the preacher. Because he's not the pastor. God's in his people.
Yes.
Don't sleep through the testimonies. Don't feel like that's not important, so I don't need to be here till after testimony service, then I'll slip in right when the preacher gets up, because, you know, I'm only here for the word. You're missing half the word. The word is in the body. You need to be here early so you can get your spirits leveled down. That's why Brother Branham said come half hour before service. He said, what am I going to do that half an hour? Sit down and pray.
Amen. Well, all right. Amen, Lord.
Get all that stuff off of you. All the drought of the day, all the mess of the week. Come in here where they're not going to bother you. That's where they're not going to ask you something. Just come in here where nobody can talk to you, because you know what? I told y'all not to talk when y'all come in here. I'm glad y'all do that. When'd you start just now? Be sensitive to God. Let people have time to unwind and get ready, because the greatest thing that's going to happen to you all week is about to happen.
Right.
You know you don't go to the movies late. You watch the previews. You watch the commercials and everything. What are you doing? Getting settled. Getting ready for that movie. The great event's getting ready to happen. How much more? And then at the end of the service, don't just, ha-ha. Jeremiah, where you going for lunch? Come on, let's go. Somebody might be seriously contemplating what God just said. God's in this place. God's in his people. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. No truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Anytime the devil's talking to you, you got to understand. It's like a mirror. I hate using mirrors because I always go the wrong way. I go to comb my hair and about poke myself in the eye. I do better with no mirror than trying to use a mirror, because you go trying to figure, because it's backwards. That's the way the devil is. If he tells you you're no good, you know what? You're good. If he tells you you're not going to make it, you've already made it. If he tells you that you're short, you're not short. You know the ones the ones that need to really pay attention are the ones the devil say, you're good.
You're a liar, so
you're better than the people in the church there. It's still a mirror. I'm trying to help you here. You don't have to do what they say do. He's still a liar. But the thing is, we believe his lie. You're better than Jeremiah. Ooh. Yeah, I can't stand that shirt he's wearing. Mine is better. Yeah. That's the devil. If you think that you're okay, then you need to be worried. You don't need nothing, you need to be worried. You're better than us, you need to be worried. You don't have to come here, you need to be worried. I don't need services, you need to be worried. I got enough Holy Ghost now to make it without y'all. Devil's a liar. I just gave y'all an extra tip. Y'all, that wasn't in my notes, but that's just to help y'all understand. He's a liar. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. The word made flesh, standing right before them, telling them everything they need to know. And they're busy listening to the devil's lie and letting the word just go by. Don't even pay no attention. He that is of God, now we're talking about infallible evidence. Jesus is trying to tell us what the infallible evidence is. He that is of God heareth God's words. There's your infallible evidence right there. No other evidence accepted. Oh, there's a lot of evidences that God's present. Healing is a sign. Tongues is a sign. Interpretation is a sign. There's many things. But the infallible evidence that if you are of God, you will hear God's word.
Amen.
Period.
Amen. Amen.
He that is of God hears God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Simple as that. You might do a lot of good things. And I'm not saying don't do them. That makes you a good neighbor. Makes you a good Christian. Nice believer. Friendly, kind, long-suffering, patient, gentleness, meekness. But there's no law. Those fruits of the Spirit, I ain't saying don't do them. But those fruits of the Spirit is not the infallible evidence. There's a lot of people who do the fruits of the Spirit and don't even believe the word. Brother Branham said here in the Church Age book, the word always come to the truly Spirit-filled. That is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. The true believers will be brought right to where the word is. You say, how did you get to this message? How did you get to this church? I don't know. I stumbled in. I honestly did stumble into this. I had no idea about a message, had no idea about a prophet, had no idea that we were at the end time, had no idea. I come in here thinking I had the Holy Ghost, thinking I was born again, ready for the journey, and come to find out I wasn't even ready to go across the street. But God, who is rich in mercy, brought me here. The same one brought me here is the same one brought you here. The same one brought me here and said, my goodness. I looked around and said, I never been in a place like this. I never heard the word preached like this. He's telling me things that I didn't even know how to explain, and it's making sense to me.
Amen.
That wasn't me doing that. That was God dealing with me. And when you come under the word, you did the same thing. That's why we can't knock people who come in. It's like they never heard it before, and they can't even fool me. They sit there, and their eyes are batting. Never heard nothing like this in my life. But the thing about a believer, though it's different than they ever heard, they know there's something to it. They can feel it. They can hear it. They can sense it. And something's pulling on the inside. And they don't even know what's going on. That's God, little bride. That's God pulling on your heartstrings. That's God pulling you to himself. You don't even know what the pull of God is till you get under it. And you're like, what's happening to me? I got to go back and get some more of that. You go back and you get more and you're like, I got to go back and get some more of that. And you go back and I got to get some more of that. Then after a while, you're like, you know what? I get this every time I come. God talks to me every time I come. Why would I not come? That is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. That is what Jesus said would be the evidence. He said, and I pray the Father, and he'll send another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now we know this. Now we know what truth is. The word is truth. John 17:17. Again in John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Did you notice that Jesus said that the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost? The world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. They can't get it no matter how you fix it. I could preach until I'm blue in the face. If you did not come from God, you will never hear me. We preachers got the wrong idea of salvation. We think we can haul everybody in and everybody comes in here and God sorts it out when they get here. That ain't the way it works. No man can come to the Father unless he draws him. You can't even come here on your own. See, I decided to come to church. No, you didn't. God brought you here. God woke you up. God put it in your heart to get here. God brought you here. And when he brings you here, God has to reveal it to you while he's preaching it.
Amen.
You ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
See, I decided. You think you decided. Jonah thought he decided to go fishing. Jonah thought he was going to take a vacation. God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah had a better idea, but God's idea was even better than Jonah's. Jonah got on the boat, went out there in the middle of the water. God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. I ain't going. Jonah got on the boat, got out in the middle of the water. God said, okay, I'll just do this to the water. Just play around with that boat a little bit. And the waves got high, and the men got fearful, and Jonah's like, uh-oh. And they said, now somebody on here, everybody pray to their God, because somebody's in trouble. Jonah didn't pray. He already knew. They started praying, and Jonah's like, you know what, guys? It's me. That's me. And the best thing y'all can do is to tie me up and throw me overboard. Just get me off the boat. You get rid of me, you get rid of the problem. But Jonah didn't realize that God had already created a fish for him. See, Jonah's plan was just to march into Nineveh. That's what he thought. He thought that was his revival, to just go to Nineveh and preach. God said, oh, no. I want them to recognize who you are. I want them to recognize there's no other voice outside of yours. I want them to recognize that you're the greatest man in shoe leather.
Yeah. Amen.
So it took that route to get God's perfect will done.
Right. Yeah.
So Jonah got thrown overboard, and the fish that God had raised up from who know how long, he'd been laughed at all his life because he had this big old aching sack of an area inside of him, and all it did was he burped all the time because it just kept air in it. It just couldn't do nothing about it. This fish is like, man, his parents are like, I'm sorry, you got a bad bat there, a bad birthmark. It's like every time I eat something, it just fills me up with air. And that fish didn't know that he was a special made fish. And he was complaining about the air pocket. And when they threw Jonah overboard, he went down and that fish thought, dinner. Swallowed up Jonah. Well, where did Jonah go? Right into the air pocket. Just enough room for him to get in there. And Melitha, I'm sorry, Lord. He repented. And you know what's funny about it? Jonah, see, the thing about God is it's your desire. Jonah said, I need to face the temple. How are you going to know which way? So God wasn't really caring about him facing the temple. His heart faced back to Jerusalem, back to his homeland. And he began to pray. And God took that fish and took Jonah up to Nineveh, out of all the places in the world for the fish to go. This fish went to Nineveh. Got to Nineveh and was like, man, that air pocket is killing me. I just feel like I'm going to. And here comes Jonah walking off the tongue on the shore of Nineveh. And all the people were standing there because they worship the whale, the fish god. And of course, when this man comes, this prophet comes out of there, God, he's a man sent from God. And of course they're going to listen. And of course they're going to repent. And then it made Jonah mad because they repented. But see, if God's in it, he does these things to you. He brings you to the Word. He knows your very service, you're going to, first service you're going to be in. He's got it catered. He's got every service catered to everybody in here. And when everybody leaves here, you're all going to leave with something today. You may not have all the message because it all ain't for you. But you'll leave with what's for you because God's going to quicken your part to you. And everybody's going to walk out here, man, that was a good meal. Everybody's going to walk out full. And what'd you eat? Oh, I ate this. Well, what'd you eat? I ate that. Did you get full? Yeah. Did you get full? Yeah. Everybody's going to get what they need. But see, God does this. Did you notice that Jesus said the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost? Well, in this verse I just read, neither could they receive the Word. Why? Because the Spirit and the Word are one. And if you have the Holy Ghost as the prophets, the Word would come to you. It's going to find you. In the fall of the garden, it wasn't Adam running around looking for God. It was God looking for Adam. After Israel got in down there in Egypt for 400 years, it wasn't Israel going out there trying to find God. God said, I have heard the cry of my people. I have heard the cry. And I have come down to deliver them. It was God coming to man. When man needed a Savior, it wasn't man telling us who we're going to pick. It was God come down, veiled himself in Jesus Christ, paid the price for you and me. God comes to us. When it comes to finding God, you don't find God. God finds you. You don't pick a time that you're going to be born again. God has that all laid out. When you start receiving the Word that you're hearing this morning, God will start working with you. If you don't turn this down, just keep receiving, keep receiving, keep receiving. I guarantee you it'll lead you right to Calvary and right from Calvary to the upper room experience of your own. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall. Not if you do this, not if you do that. You receive the Word, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is a revealer of the Word.
Amen.
Okay. But the Comforter, Brother Branham said, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Here again we find the Word coming because the Spirit of God. Again in St. John 16:13, how when the Spirit of truth, the Word is come, he will guide you in all truth. The Word is truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, that shall he speak of, Word. And he will show you things to come. Spirit brings the word of prophecy. I want you to note very carefully that Jesus did not say that the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues, interpreting, prophesying, or shouting and dancing. He said the evidence would be that you would be in the truth. You would be in the Word of God for your age. Evidence has to do something with receiving that word. When you are a child of God, and you got to be first, you don't become a child of God because you are sons. See, because you already belong. Do you realize the children of God belong to God before they're born again?
Amen.
You're not becoming a son. You are a son. Amen. Because ye are sons, that's the reason he gives you the spirit of adoption.
Right. Right.
God only adopts his own children.
Right.
Not like the world. No. The world takes somebody else's kid. They adopt him and raise him. But God only adopts his own.
Right.
So you got to be a part of God to be adopted. You got to be a part of God for God to select you. You don't come here and decide, you know, today I'm going to give my heart to Jesus Christ. That's such a falsehood. You don't give your heart to Jesus Christ. It already belonged to him.
Amen.
He just needs you to give up and surrender and submit yourself to the Word of God.
And when you submit to the word of God, he'll do what he has ordained for you to do through you. You don't go chasing after him. He's come and pulled you here. You had no idea what I was going to preach today, but you're here. It's too late now. And you're here. You're hearing it now. And it's like, oh, I'm just going to close my... It's too late. The evidence has to do with receiving the word. We're talking about the infallible evidence. What is the infallible evidence? When you can receive every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you realize God didn't tell everybody the same thing? In Luther's day, all God said was the just shall live by faith. And if you received all the word that received that came out of the mouth of God, you received the birth. But that wasn't as much as what Wesley received. God said another word. If Luther lived long enough, he would step right into Wesley's message. But Wesley's message was the word of the hour. And everybody who believed every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God received the Holy Ghost. Pentecost had come on the scene. Restoration of the gift. All the way up to where it got the word restored back. If you received it all, then you received your Holy Ghost new birth for that day. There's a lot of people Brother Branham preached to in the 30s, 40s, and 50s that went in on that Pentecostal age. You say, but he was a prophet of the hour. Yes, but he hadn't come into his ministry. Not until 1963. Restoration of the word was part of the end of the Pentecostal age. At the end of the Pentecostal age, we had restoration of the word. Then he himself come down. Brother Branham had two ministries. Malachi 4 had two ministries. One was restore the word, the hearts of the children back to the fathers. But then there was the restoration of the mysteries. And it was those hidden secrets that was going to literally turn our hearts back to the fathers. We are sitting here with those hidden secrets now. We're not part of the Pentecostal age. We've moved into the light. The proof of who we are is what we did with the word. That's the infallible evidence. When you hear the word comes down and you step out on that word, that's the infallible evidence. It's not about you just trying to pull yourself together and make yourself acceptable to God. You can't pull yourself together to make yourself acceptable to God. You have already been accepted in the beloved. Not by your works that any man should boast. See, there's too many scriptures to even cover today. Rain falls on just and unjust. Won't read it, but Matthew 5:45. When it fell, the Spirit fell. It fell on the seed of God, and it fell on the rest of the world. Remember when Brother Branham was here, that ministry, healing ministry, it didn't just happen to him. He helped spearhead that thing and was one of the leaders in it. And they looked at him and followed his leadership in those ministries. But everybody that went after those gifts and signs and things weren't the seed of God. It was a mixed bag. You had the Oral Roberts and the Billy Grahams, and you had all these other people out there and people trying to use the signs and wonders and gifts and doing all things. But Brother Branham, he had the signs and wonders, but what did he do? He took a turn. Said, I got to give to the word. Signs and wonders are fine, but that's not the infallible evidence. I got to turn to the word. The infallible evidence this morning is not Trevor's healing. The infallible evidence this morning is the word that's coming forth out of my mouth that you're receiving. You can get healed and die, but you get the word of God and you'll never die. That's what Jesus told the little woman at the well, said, there is a place that I can give you. She said, I can give you some water. He said, you give me water and I'll get thirsty and I'll drink some and I'll get that cured for a moment. He said, but if I give you water that I have, I'll give you something you'll never thirst again. Amen. He told us over here, just skipping to save time. I know it's getting late. John chapter 10. I want to read this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 1. He that entereth not by the door into my sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Amen. You try to get into this thing by your good works, by some fallible way, some other way outside of the Word of God, you're a thief and a robber. You're stealing time. You're stealing God's people's attention. You're stealing. You can't go any other way. But he that entering by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. When you come in the right way, you're welcome. It's open for you. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. He's not just coming out here wishing that somebody here is going to pick this up. He chose you. He picked you. He called you by your name. What name? There's only seven names. You got to be one of those names. Your message got to fall under a name. Your name is your word for your day. Your representation. That's God veiled in skin, walking around on the earth in skin, fulfilling scripture. Your scripture and your name is one and the same thing. He calls you by name. He didn't call Luther Luther. His name was Just Shall Live By Faith. That was his name. Pentecostals. He didn't call them Pentecostal. He called them Restoration of the Gifts. Brother Branham was Restoration of the Word. Then he came himself. What's your name? Your name is the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Your name is the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Luke 17:30. Your name is Revelation 10, 8 through 11. You take the book. You eat it. Your very manifestation shows your name. You become the word that you're reading about. He calls you by your name. He's called all the way through by their name. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep followeth him. We're following. We just take him one day at a time. Whatever he's saying. Lord, what should I do today? What's going on? One of these days he's going to say, okay, let's do the body change today. I got this scripture here that I want to fulfill called Luke 7, that's called 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The change that's going to happen, those that are alive and remain. I need somebody to fulfill that scripture. I need somebody to be called by that name. Oh my. See, the thing is, you got to recognize you are the scripture. It's not just Nate Moore. It's not Jeremiah Allen. It's not James Pickens. It's Luke 17:30. Revelation 10. Revelation 18:4. Somebody's got to say, come out of her. Spirit and bride, say, come. Come out of her, my people. That's what we're doing. That's why we're doing what we do. We call people out of every walk in life. We've got Baptists here, Methodists, Pentecostals, Catholics, message churches, everything under the sun. You say, message church? Yeah, there's people been in a message church all their life. Sitting here, been in there all their life. That's all they knew until they got born again. Brother Branham said in the sixth seal, but to all that got their names on the book of life, God will call. They'll hear it. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus said, only thing we've got to do is make a sheep call. Goats don't know it. Notice, but you see, the sheep call, my sheep hear my voice. Why? What is the voice? I want to tell you what that voice is. A voice is a supernatural sign. It's supernatural for you to hear this and recognize it as a voice of God, do you realize that's a supernatural sign?
Amen.
Most people don't, they hear my voice and they're like, turn it off. I don't want to do with him. Yeah, I don't believe a word he's saying. They don't hear it. They don't have a place in them, is what Jesus said. He said to Moses, if they won't hear the voice of the first sign, they'll hear the voice of the second sign. My sheep hear my voice. When these things are supposed to take place in the last days, sheep of God recognizes that. There's that infallible proof right there. The sheep will recognize the voice of God. Nobody else will. That's why the place ain't packed. If people knew God was here, if they really knew God was here, you couldn't get in this state. But for me to say God is here, people look at me and say, you take too much upon yourself. You think you're something else. You think you're this. You think you're that. And hence, the church ain't full. But that's all right. I'm sure there was room in the upper room, too.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
All of Jesus preaching, all he got is 120. I feel like I'm doing pretty good. Okay. There's many evidences that God is here, but you must be born again. That's what Nicodemus was saying over in John 3. Jesus was there. Nicodemus, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Now, they had seen the miracles. They seen the signs. They seen the wonders. They had proof beyond a doubt that God was with them. But he didn't have the infallible evidence. They're still trying to say that we know you're God. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we know you're right. We know this is truth. We know this. But you know what? That's okay. Jesus wasn't worried about Nicodemus patting him on the back and saying, you're right. Nicodemus, he was dumb because he was standing there before the word made flesh and ended up walking away. Jesus said, you being a man, a leader in the church, you're the best the church has gotten. You don't understand these things? See, people, it's more than just being here. It's more than just affiliating with us. You must be born again.
Amen.
Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. If you want the infallible evidence, you got to step out on every word that God lays in your path. You want to know whether you have God? Every time God speaks to you, I believe it. God speaks to you, I believe it. Oh, you may not live it. You may not be able to match it. You may not be able to do everything you believe. I believe a lot of things I can't do. But it's not about what you can do. It's about what you can believe. We believe in the body change. But we can't make it happen. It'll happen in God's time. Your life will be cleaned up in God's time. Your life will be whole in God's time. We want everything to happen just like this, just like this. But it doesn't happen that way. God deals with you and he works with you and he can work with you 30 years. 30 years is nothing to God. He says, Lord, I've had this happen for 45 years. You can have it for 45 years and God take it like that. Trevor couldn't swallow for a year. Just not even overnight. Just, it's no biggie to God. He that has an ear, let him hear what he said in Revelation 3. You've got to be able to pick up God's word. That God's word is the only infallible proof that God has for you. Everything else is fallible. Satan can get in everything else. He can get in healings. He can get in the prophecies. Oh, we've had people speak in tongues here and prophesy and interpret tongues and have a false interpretation. But it was an anointing. So it's not about those things. When the word comes forth, what do you do with the word?
Amen.
That's the only infallible proof you have that you are of God.
Amen.
Only infallible. You say, oh, I got signs and wonders. What are you doing with the word?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been healed. What are you doing with the word?
Right.
Oh, I'm a friend of, what are you doing with the word?
Amen.
Oh, I believe I got, you know, I can discern people. What are you doing with the word?
Right.
Brother Brown said, whenever you see that gift acting and working in the amongst the people, you watch and see what happens next. When that gift gets finished working, see what follows. If he doesn't give you, thus saith the Lord, get away from him. It's not God. It's just an anointing. You can't go to heaven on an anointing. You got to have the word of God.
Amen.
And the church has turned down the word of God for the signs and the wonders and the things of the world, and don't even know how to gauge the word. And the true evidence, 1 John chapter 4, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. There's your evidence. There's your true evidence. You say, well, why do I have to hear you? Because God's not going to speak in this hour, in the day of the Son of Man. We are fulfilling the scripture that says God is in skin, and outside of that, you will get no God. That's the living, that's our name. Son of Man. God in skin. Outside of that, you get nothing. You say, well, I'm a good person. There's a lot of people going to go to hell that are good. Matthew 25. Lord, didn't we? Listen. Didn't we heal the sick in your name? Didn't we do these things in your name? Didn't we do this? And not even in some other name. In his name. They had it right. Cain wasn't in trouble for worshiping the wrong God. He was in trouble because he didn't bring it by revelation.
Right. Amen. Right.
Matthew 25 is going to have a lot of good people in there.
Right.
You got to be born again.
Amen.
The true evidence that if you are of God, you hear us. Amen. He that is not of God heareth not us.
Right.
Not God, us.
Amen.
Where are you going to find God? In us.
Right.
He's going to be in testimonies. He's going to be in songs.
Right.
He's going to be in ministering. He's going to be in the body. He's going to help the body. He's going to do all this stuff. He's going to do it all through us.
Right.
And when you cut this part of the body off, oh, I don't need this. I don't need that. Oh, I don't need the singing. Oh, I can't stand the testimonies. They're lying. Oh, I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm going to leave early because I don't want to be out in the traffic in the parking lot. So I'm going to cut out a little early. We got all these reasons why we're cutting off the body. What if I took some scissors and started cutting and sawing on you? What do you mean you're going to take my left hand? Oh, I don't need that. Oh, what if I take a baby toe off? You throw your balance off. We need the entire body. You need the entire service. You need to be here to hear what God's going to speak, because he is in his word and his word is in his people. And when you cut his people off, you cut God off. And you don't cut God off from God. You cut God off from you. The infallible proof of who you are is that you receive the word of God. There's your infallible proof. There's where you're going to recognize whether you are of God or not. You say, well, I love God, but I just don't like that pastor. You don't have to like me. You have to love what I'm saying. Because if it's not going to be me, it's going to be somebody else. See, God is not the man. God is in the man. If I sit down today and Jeremiah takes over tonight, you know who it'll be? It'll be God in that man. And you cannot love God with respect to persons.
Amen.
I like this brother, and I like this sister, but I don't like this one, and I don't like that one. You need to get that out of your vocabulary. And it shouldn't even be in your thinking, let alone your vocabulary. If you're saying that, you're way off base. You should kick that when it was in your brain. Like Brother Chilton said, don't let it come out between your teeth. Keep it behind your teeth. You know why you want to keep it behind your teeth? Because you don't put poison on somebody else.
Right.
You got to battle enough by yourself, let alone poison it throughout the body.
Right.
Oh, woo.
Oh, amen.
You need to speak after the word. Like I'm saying about everything else, it's all after the word of God. And if you can speak after the word of God, then you'll be able to do what God's word says. You'll overcome by your testimony. What testimony? The testimony of the word of God. This ain't rocket science, people. This is easy. Believe the word. Speak after the word. If you want the infallibility evidence, then the infallible evidence is the word of God that you can receive. That's it. And that's the only evidence that you should build your life on. The others are nice. It's great to have them. Thank God for healing. Thank God for everything else. But if you don't have the word, then you don't have the infallible evidence of the Holy Ghost. You don't know if the Holy Ghost is there or not. You're still guessing. You're still wondering. You're wondering, well, is God here or not? Oh, I hope I'm going to. So if this message this morning condemns you, then you need to check yourself. Because this is not a condemning message. This is saying, I know I got what I need.
Yeah.
I got the word of God. I believed every word that was spoken out of the mouth of God today. I didn't run from it. I didn't hide from it. I didn't try to make excuses from it. I just received it and I accepted it because it was God dealing with me. And when God comes here and I come here, he and I have fellowship. We talk to each other. That's why I told Renee the other Sunday. I said, she's like, well, what about us over? And then you're fine. You gobbled down every word of God. Never, never burped any of it up. Took every bit of it. That's the infallible evidence. You're not bucking it. You're not trying to figure this out. You're not saying, I got a better way. You're just receiving it. God speaks, and I say, yay, Lord. Yay and amen. This is it. It's just that simple. You don't buck him. You don't fight him. You're not kicking and scratch. See, when y'all kick and scratch against me, do you know who y'all scratching? It cracks me up because y'all think y'all fighting me. You're not fighting me. That's what they told. That's what the prophet told Saul. Or Samuel, when they chose Saul for the king, and Samuel was, he was like, man, they rejected me. God said, they didn't reject you. They rejected me. So when y'all reject me, y'all aren't rejecting me. Just let it be known today. I never said it. Because I see it, and I just smile. I know when you reject me, you reject God. You say, you can't say that. I've got to. What happens when the world rejects you? You jump up real quick. Oh, they rejected me. They rejected God. And you come to church and I'll tell you something and you reject me. All right. One more quote and I'm closing. Brother Branham said, and I love this quote, and I read it a lot, the importance of revelation. The importance of revelation by the spirit of a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation in you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. And the reason it's important is because that is where you're going to get the infallible evidence of the Holy Ghost being in your life. If you've got the word in there and you've received every word, you're not bucking, you're not scratching, you're not trying to get around the word, but you're saying, Lord, I'm guilty, I need help, but it's right. I'd rather say that than try to hang on to something that's going to drag me to hell. I'd rather hang on to the infallible word of God, knowing that the Holy Ghost is living in me, revealing the word as it comes forth. And I'm just receiving. I've been receiving the word of God for 40-something years, Don. Just receive, receive. Have you ever rejected it, Nate? Not one time.
Amen.
Not once.
Amen.
Oh, it wasn't always what I wanted to hear. Brother Chill's rougher on me than he was on any of y'all. Because he knew he wanted me right. And he knew I had to be balanced. And he knew I was going to have to lead this thing on. So he made sure.
That's right.
So I was rebuked. I was raked over the coal and everything else. But you know what? It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me because it made me the man I am today. And now I know who I am. I know what I'm about. And the devil can't even tell me any different. I've got the infallible proof for the Holy Ghost here because I've received every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Do you have that proof? Do you have that proof? Have you received every word? Can you say amen to every word? Whether you get healed or not, can you say amen to every word? Whether you get your new job or not, can you say amen to every word? Whether your wife or your husband gets along with you, can you say amen to every word? That's the infallible proof. That shows you that you're real. That shows you that God's got his hand on you. That shows you God's still speaking to you. Oh, you might get mad, but you'll be back. As many days I've stumped out of this church thinking, I'm through. But I come back because the infallible word is here. I think I don't need to do this no more. But then greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I find myself right back here again. I've done that so much, 40 plus years worth of it. But you know, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world, Don. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. God's been so good to this little bride, revealing himself to us in such a way that we now have the infallible proof that he's there. Because I can receive every word. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it's proven itself to us over and over and time again. And we know you're here in us. We got the infallible proof. We've eaten every bit of scripture, every word that's come out of the mouth of God. We've done that. And we're still here, Lord, knowing who we are. Knowing that as long as we're here, we're going to fulfill scripture. And there's things laying in that scripture just dead ahead for us. And we're going to do that as well because of who we are. Thank you for this loving congregation that just loves your truth. Thank you for people who stand for the word when people turn their back, when people backbite us, when they tell us that we're not going or we're short here and short there. We're still standing here believing your word. And Lord, it will be what it's ordained to be. And my house may be different than another house, but it's your house. You'll paint it like you want to. You'll clean it like you want to. You'll straighten it like you want to. But whether the world believes it or likes it or not, Lord, we'll turn around and say, but it's your house. Take it and use it for your glory. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for being with us. I ask you to be with those around the world who somehow, someplace, they tune us in and get to hear the services one way or the other. And we're grateful for that, Father. I get texts and emails from people who tune in. And Father, they're hungry around the world for the word of God. They want that inevitable proof. They want that infallible proof to be in their lives. And Father, we ask you to go before us, keep us, and keep your hand on us, Father. Thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, musicians. I think I want to sing that song, I Want to Live the Way That He Wants Me to Live. Don't know where it is, but we'll find it, maybe. Page 63 in the choruses. I'm not sure what key. G? Key of G? Don't forget, come back to... Oh, yes. Come on. I'm sorry, I didn't look up. You know, I never like to pass up an opportunity.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, everybody's got the same testimony, but you don't. You know, and you called my name out, and I was thinking, I had that question, because it was really on my heart. I want to do what's right.
That's,
you know?
Right.
But God answered that question. I don't have to worry about that. And no. I wasn't anyway, but right. I still want to do what's right. You
That's
know?
Right.
I could never live up to it. I could never... I just want to thank him.
Amen.
For giving me this gift. And I can hear what you're saying. I know it's God that's speaking to me. And you were talking through the service about COVID. And I've got some family members that's got COVID right now. And so that's come up. I've got two high-risk people that will not get the vaccination, mm-hmm. no matter what God has told them to do.
Right.
But, you know, God's got all that too.
Yes,
God told me to get the vaccination.
Exactly.
And I'm alive.
Amen.
There it is. That's right.
I was thinking though about, you know, Luther, Wesleyan, and just I'm kind of like a fast story of this.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Church of Christ, and I don't even know where that is. I have no idea. But throughout my journey, I was crazy about this guy who was a Lutheran, and I went to his church like twice, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what in the world is this? Like, where is this at in the Bible? It was short-lived. And then I went to a Wesleyan church long enough just so I could play softball with them for a summer. I had to go two times a month. You know, and I went more than that because I liked it. But I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
You know, because at least I have that Church of Christ background where I'm still trying to earn it every day. I'm like, I don't know. These people, you're not really earning it, you know. And I'm just so thankful I do not have to live like that anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know, and
thank you.
It just makes me think of when God came and got me, you know. I was, by that time, I was, no, Lord, I will not ever pick another man.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want me to be with someone, you will send them to me. And there was three things that I wanted on my list. The first one, I wanted him to serve God because I wasn't bringing them to church. He was serving God by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl that I worked with, she said, what about Doug Allen? No way. No way. She said, well, he goes to church. Mike, it doesn't matter. And she said, he drives an hour to go to church. I'm like, I don't care. You know, no way. And he still came and got me, you know.
Amen.
It took a while. I had the best life.
Amen. Amen. I want to know what those other two things were. I ain't going to ask. My curiosity. He got them. What? That's all right. As long as you know what they were, you got them. I just nosy. God knows what he's doing with us. Come back tonight, 7 o'clock, for a Bible study. And we'll see what the Lord has in store. And that's good to have you all here. I can never, never outlove the Lord. If I give him anything, he gives me twice back.
Amen.
I want to live.